We begin the current daf Masech the Sukkah daf Chav Tes. We begin 3 lines down from the top of the Amud, but the Gemara continues with another teaching by Rava, again regarding the discussion of the previous daf about what should be in the Sukkah and what should be out of the Sukkah. So Amar Rava says, "Mani Mishtiya, the vessels of drinking, which is a reference to cups, b'metalalta, that should be in the Sukkah, because those are not things that are disgusting, and therefore, as we said in the previous daf, things that are teish v'gein to do, just like you would have in your home, you should have it in the Sukkah, so you should have drinking cups in the Sukkah. However, mani michla, the vessels, the utensils of eating, which are the platters, the plates, after one has eaten from them already, so that you have to take out, bar mitalalta, that you have to take out of the sukkah, because those are things that are not appropriate to have in the sukkah, because they're dirty. Chatzva, these are pitchers of pottery, of earthenware, which they would use to draw the water with. Vishachal, and a pail of wood, bar mitalalta, again, those are things that should not be in the sukkah, things which are beautiful, nice utensils and vessels like one would have in his dira that he should have, but these things are not appropriate to have in the sukkah. B'shraga, and a lamp made out of earthenware, b'metalata, that should be in the sukkah. V'amrila, and some say b'metalata, no, it should be out of the sukkah. And the Gemara says, v'loi pligi, actually, they're not even arguing, ha'besukkah g'dayla, buy a large sukkah, then you should have in the sukkah because it's very normal to have light where you are, ha'besukkah g'tana, however, by a small sukkah, which is the minimum shiur could be of around 7 tvachim, that's forbidden to have inside the sukkah because how small it is, and that you should have out of the sukkah. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah, which said, Yardu Gesham, that if rain comes down, then depending how much rain it's going to be, which will be that it'll ruin a mikpah, a type of a cooked dish that's some like porridge-like consistency, if it's going to ruin that, then one could already leave the sukkah. So time we learn now Braisa, which clarifies this a little bit more, and says, Mishatisuch ha-mikpah shel grisen. What type of porridge-like food, when it's going to ruin it, when it's made out of split beans, which that gets quickly ruined with just a little amount of rain, when it's already that amount of rain, one could already leave from the sukkah because the person's in tsar, and one doesn't, that's not going to be included in teish v'kein to dur. The Gemara brings a story related to this halacha, that Abaye havakol Yosef kamed Rav Yosef mitalalta. Abaye was sitting in front of Rav Yosef in a sukkah. Noshav zika, now a wind blew, become maisi tzivusa, and it brought these chips of the wood from the schach that fell on top of the food. So Rabbi Yosef said to his students, Panali mani mahacha, let's go clear out my stuff from here. We're packing up. We're leaving the sukkah. Abaye said to him, but va'tanabu, we learned in our Mishnah, mishatisach ha-mikpah, like we just quoted before, and that's only if there's that much of the elements. For example, when it's raining, it's going to ruin the porridge. That's not the case on what's coming out of here. You could quickly pick out these twigs that fell in. Why are you packing up already? Rav Yosef said, Tabaye ledidi, for someone like me, kiven da nina da toy, since I'm very delicate, kimisha tisacha mikpah damili. So to me, it's the equivalent as a regular person when the rain is going to ruin his porridge. For me, just these things is really the equivalent. I'm already considered mitzdar with that. As the Gemara in Masechta Pesachim on the Kavod Beizim and Beis explains, Rav Yosef was very delicate. As the Braisa there says, that there are three types of people that their lives are not regular living. The one who is overly merciful, the one who is overly angry, and the one who is very delicate, what's called anini hadas, very sensitive to different stimuli, that they cannot tolerate different things that are revolting to them. And Rav Yosef said, kulis nibi, says, all these three things are by me. I'm overly merciful, I'm overly raschen, and I'm very delicate. And therefore, for someone like me, it's time for me to pack up, because I'm already included in the same tsar that a person would be when the rain would ruin his porridge. Again, continuing on this halacha, if someone was eating in the sukkah and the rain started pouring down the yard, and he left the sukkah to go finish up his meal inside the house. Now, however, once he sat down, then guess what happened? The rain stopped. So net the Braisa brings that we do not require the person to exert himself to stop his meal, lalis, to go back into the sukkah. Until he finishes his meal, he can finish inside, even though it's cleared up, it's a beautiful day, he can finish up his meal. And then when he finishes, if he wants to eat another meal, then that'd have to be in the sukkah. Similarly, how yashin takas the sukkah, if he was sleeping beneath the sukkah, the yard gesham, and he's in the sukkah, and it starts raining. The yard, he leaves in the middle of the night, he's sleeping, he goes inside the house. Now, then it stops raining. We do not exert him to have to go back into the sukkah until the light shines in the morning, that when it's already the break of dawn, Amud HaShachar, that's when he would have to go back into the sukkah, but he could, for the rest of the night, he could sleep in his bed in his house. Now, Iboilu, then the following question. The students wanted to know, when we said that Achayeir, is it with an ayin, Achayeir, until he wakes up from his sleep? Which means to say, but that if he does get up, even if it's the middle of the night, and he looks out the window and goes, whoa, it stopped raining, then he has to go ahead and continue sleeping in the sukkah? Or is it with an aleph, until the light comes out in the morning, that is, even if he gets up in the middle of the night and he sees that it stopped raining, since it's the middle of the night, we don't make him go back into the sukkah. Which one was it, with an ayin, or was it with an aleph? So the Gemara says, Tashma, come in here, we'll prove it from the following braisa. The braisa says this halacha with these words. It says that if it was raining, so therefore he packed up his bed and he went to sleep inside. We don't require him to go back into the sukkah when the rain stops. Ad sheyeir, until the light shines in the morning. V'yalamur hashachar, and that it's the break of dawn. Now, obviously, ad sheyeir has to be with an ayin. Because if not, what would then the following terms be of yalamur hashachar? Tarti? Would it be both? Until it's yeir, until it lights up, and amur hashachar? But these are contradictory terms. Because yeir, that if one is distinctly saying that term of yeir, sounds like what's called heir hamizrach, that the eastern front has already lit up. Now, amur hashachar, the break of dawn, it sounds like even before that. Now, therefore, why would they say both terms? So Ella, rather what we have to say is that Ema, that must be that when it says sheyeir, it was saying it with an ayin. And therefore, what the Bryce was saying was as follows. Ad sheyeir, there's two criteria to require someone to go back into the sukkah when he went back into sleep at night when it started raining. One is ad sheyeir, until he wakes up, and v'yala mur hashachar, and that it's already the break of dawn. So therefore, until he wakes up, that's first of all, and that it's already amur hashachar, when it's those two, then he would have to go back inside, which that would exclude if you only have one of the two. For example, if let's say he gets up, but it's the middle of the night, then we don't make him exert himself to go back in. And also, even if it's already Ola Amur HaShachar, it's already the break of dawn, but he didn't get up yet, we don't wake him up to have to go back into the sukkah. It has to be both. It has to be a Sheyeir, that he wakes up, and that it's already Amur HaShachar. But if it's either one, then one would not have to go back into the sukkah, since he had already left when it started raining, with Namatriach him to go back in. So the Mishnah told us that regarding when it starts raining on sukkahs, and you have to leave the sukkah, mashal mahadavadayma, what could this be compared to? It could be compared to a servant that's coming to pour his master from a flask of water, and guess what? And he pours the flask of water. Now, the Gemara asks Ibailu had the following question in this parable. Mi shafach lemi, who's pouring onto who? And that is it that the servant poured it on the master? And that is, he was like clumsily, he messed up in what he was trying to do. For example, let's say the Eved is trying to make his master a drink, and he was trying to do some type of service, but he didn't do it appropriately. He just spilled all over his master. So too, that's what the parable is telling us, that must be that the Jewish people are not doing something appropriate. They're not serving, doing the mitzvah appropriate. And that's what Hashem says, you know what, just leave. That's what the siman is when it rains on sukkahs. Or maybe this is what the parable is saying. That then the master took the flask. You want to give me this pitcher of water? He says, give me the pitcher. And he pours it on the face of the servant. Which basically what that's saying is, leave. I don't need your service. I know you're doing a good job, but I don't need it. And that's exactly, that would be even more precise in the parable, which that would mean that the pouring of the rain would be like the pouring of the flask of the water, saying, get out of here. I don't need it. However, either way you explain the parable, it's still a siman of a klal of a curse, because either way, that means something the Jewish people are doing wrong. Just however, the Gemara is asking now to understand the parable of the Mishnah. What does it mean, the pouring of the flask? Was it regarding that our sitting in the sukkah is the nimshal of what the pouring of the flask is? And that is, we're clumsily here, we're spilling it over our mess, we're not doing something right in the way we're doing performing the mitzvah. Or that it's the raining, the pouring of the rain, that's the pouring of the flask. And Hashem is saying, you're doing it very good. I just don't need it. I don't want you. I don't want your service. So which one does that mean? So the Gemara says, Toshma, come in here to tell me, learn the braisa. The braisa says, Shafach li rabbi kitn al panav. It completes the parable in saying that the master takes the pitcher of water and pours it on the face of the servant. Vamala, and he tells him, "E efshet mishimushach. You're doing a good job, but you know what? I don't want your service." And that's the message of the klola, that if it rains on sukkahs, we're trying to do a service and we're doing it appropriately, but Hashem's saying for some reason that he doesn't want it, and therefore it's a simon klola for rains on sukkahs. Now the Gemara continues, since it mentioned over here the simonic klola, so it talks about other signs, other omens that are a curse for the context of what it's in. So the Gemara brings turban in the braisa. Bismacha chamaloika, when the sun is deficient, when it gets hit, So that's Siman Ra L'Chol Ha'olam Kuloi. So that's a bad omen for the entire world. Mashal Ma Adav Adam. What could this be compared to in the parable? L'Melech Basav Adam Sha'asa Suda L'Avadav. To a regular flesh and blood king who makes a festive meal for his servants. V'nech Panas L'Vneim. And he puts a lantern in front of them so they could see and enjoy. Kasalim, when he gets angry at them, V'am Alav, then he tells the servant, you know what, Tol Panas M'Pneim, take away the lantern from them. V'yishiv M'cheshech, let them sit in the dark. And that's the nimshal, so too over here, when the sun becomes deficient, so it doesn't light up the world as much, and it's removing some of the pleasure from the inhabitants of the world, that's the same idea that it's a simon kolala, it's a bad omen for the people of the world, saying that Hashem is trying to take away some of the pleasure. Tanya Lutna Breiser, May Oyma, he says, Kozman Shema Oyris Loikin, as long as when the luminaries are deficient, which is a reference to the moon and the stars, then Simon Ra Lisoin Ehem Shal Yisrael, which that's a euphemism. It really means a bad omen for the Jewish people. We just don't want to say that, so we say for the enemies of the Jewish people. And the reason is Mneshim Lumadim B'makri Sein, because the Jewish people are learned with afflictions, with getting hit. Meaning what that means is that any type of punishment that comes to the world, the Jewish people should worry and say, you know what this is a sign for? It's only for us, the Jewish people, more than all the other nations of the world. Because who's the nation that gets the most afflictions and gets hit the most? It's the Jewish people. As the Gemara brings Mashal HaSeifa, this could be compared to a parable of a teacher of little children. Shabola Beis HaSeifa V'Ritzua B'Yada, that he comes to school and he's holding the whip, he's holding the Ritzua, the strap in his hand to hit. Now, Midoig, which child should be the most afraid? The child that gets hit every single day, he should worry. He goes, oh, look at this strap that the teacher's coming with. Obviously, there's one kid that's getting it the most, and it's me. And that's the nimshal of the Jewish people, that the same thing of who gets hit, the one that needs it the most, that the expectations are the greatest, the Jewish people. And therefore, the Jewish people should worry when the Me'iris are likened, because they're the ones that get hit the most. Tarban, learn the Braisa. Bizman Shacham Aloike. At the time when the sun becomes deficient, when it gets hit, Simon Ra La'ibdi Kachavim. So that's a bad sign for the idol worshippers. Levan Aloika, when the moon gets hit, Simon Ra La'sanim Shal Yisrael, so that's a bad omen for the Jewish people. What's the reason? Because the Jewish people follow the lunar calendar, and therefore it's their sign that's getting hit. However, the idol worshippers, they follow a solar year, and therefore when the sun gets hit, it's a bad omen for them. Now, regarding when the sun gets hit, so it depends where and when. Leika, if the sun is getting hit, which means to say there's something that's diminishing the light of the sun in the morning time, when the sun is b'mizrach on the east, so then simen ra l'yishim mizrach. So that's a bad omen for those who dwell in the east. B'mayiv, when it's on the west, so simen ra l'yishim mayiv, so that's a bad omen for those who dwell in the west. If it's like when it's in the middle of the sky, when it's by noontime, when the sun is over everyone's head, then simra l'chalom kule, then it's a bad omen for the entire world. Moreover, regarding the what happens to the sun, if panav doimin ladam, if the surface of the sun looks like blood, meaning it has a reddish color, then cherv balaylam, so that's a simon that the sword, that there will be bloodshed that will be coming to the world. Lesak, if the color of the sun looks like a sackcloth, which is made out of goat's hair, which has a darkish color, blackish color, then chitzi rov, then the arrows of hunger, which is when hunger darkens a person's face, that's obviously a sign that that's boin lam, that that's coming to the world. Lazu, if it has a reddish and a blackish color, then cher v'chitzi rov boin lam, then it's a sign that war, that the sword and the arrows of hunger are both coming to the world. Now, if it gets hit, if it's getting diminished when it's coming in, meaning by shkiyatam, when it's coming back to where it's kept through the night, then peranir shoy lovay. Then that's a sign that the punishment will take some time in coming. Just like the sign on the sun only came at the end of the day, that means so too the punishment of this coloring will also only be coming towards the end of the day, or of the fact when it's like when something is blocking it. Bitsiyase, however, if the sun had this Laka, if something happened to it when it just came out into the world on the east, then Meheres Lavi, that's a sign that it's going to be quick to come. In other words, just like the simon came right away, right when the sun came out in the morning, that means so too the punishment of whatever that the mushal of the sun getting will also be quick to come. The Yashayimim, the Gemara brings Chilav Hadvarim. Some say it's exactly the opposite, and that is if it gets Laka, something happens to the sun diminishing it when it's coming back in the evening time. So that's a sign that the punishment is going to be quick to coming. because the sign is just like there's no more time for the sun to be serving the day, which is right now, it's because it's close to Shkia, so too that means that it won't be quick, it won't be long, and the punishment to come also doesn't have a lot of time either. Whereas when the sun was locked in the morning when it's coming out, that means that there is time for the punishment. Just like the sun has time to serve for the day till it's over, so too it means that whatever that's being signified by the lakka of the sun will also have time, as it is towards the end of the day till the punishment comes, that it will be shay lave, it will not come immediately. Now the Gemara continues and says, "Ve'en lecha kol uma ve'uma shalayka." Now as we're saying these omens, that there's this relationship between the luminaries and the nations, so too there is no nation that when it gets hurt, she'en eloheha, that its gods, which means it's a reference to the malach that advocates for that nation, for example, the Malch Samol, which is the Tsar of the nation of Esav, which is that ministering angel, like Ima, you never have that its ministering angel will not get hurt and punished together with its nation. Like it says the Pasuk in Shemais, it says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, it says, "Uvuchol Elehei Mitzrayim Eser Shvatim," and also all the gods of the Egyptians, I will also do justice, I will also punish them. Again, that same idea that it's not just the nation, but also their gods, which is a reference to their Avodah Zarah, but it's also a reference to their Malach, who also gets punished with them. However, the Gemara tells us, "Bizman Sheyisrael Oisin Ritzayin Shel Malkam." However, when the Jewish people follow the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they don't have to be worried from any of all these signs, all these omens. Shenema, like it says in Pasuk in Yirmiyah. It says, "Koyim Hashem, so Hashem says, El derech ha-goyim al tilmoldu. To the paths, to the ways of the nations, you shouldn't learn." In other words, to do like they do. Now, when you don't learn to do what they do, rather you do the will of God, then the Pasuk continues, "Mo'isus Hashemayim al teichasu." Then from the signs of the heavens, you will not be afraid. Ki echatu ha-goyim mehem, because rather only the nations are afraid from them. As the Gemara explains, that means the idol worshippers are afraid of these omens. However, the Jewish people do not have to be afraid, because since they do the will of Hashem, Hashem will protect them. Tarban Lena Brisa, continuing on this theme about the Chama and other things being Leika, b'shvil abar dvarim Chama Leika, because of four things causes the sun to be Leika, again, to something to happen to diminish the light of the sun. First of all, alav beznin shemeis ve'in nisbet kalacha, regarding the head of the rabbinical court who passes away and he wasn't properly eulogized. Second of all, Val Naira Hamarasa, for a betrothed maiden, Shetzaka Be'ir Ve'imashila, who was screaming in the city because she was being raped and no one came to save her. Third of all, Val Mishkav Zachar, because of homosexuality. And the fourth reason, Val Shnei Achen Shenishbach Damike Echad, regarding two brothers, that their blood were spilled at the same time. These four things caused the Chama to be Lakam. Because of these other four things, causes the luminaries, again a reference to the moon and the stars, for that to be like, which is al kaisve plaster, for those who write these forged documents and they make up different forgeries, for example, to write in somebody's name what he had never commanded it to be, they wrote in his name such and such a thing. Valmaide e de sheker, those who say false testimony. Valmagadli behema dakabar, so those who raise small livestock in Eretz Yisrael, who these small little animals, they destroy the land of Eretz Yisrael because it's very hard and it's not possible to protect them from grazing in other people's fields. And those who chop down good trees, even if it's their own trees, because they're destroying things that provide good things, and it looks like that as if they're kicking in the favors of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they don't need it. They're saying, "We're going to chop down your trees that you're giving us all these good fruits. So if someone does one of these four things, that causes the Me'oiris to be like him. For the following four things cause the properties, the resources of the homeowners to be given over to the government. One is al-mashe shtaris purim, because they hold on to these paid-up documents so that they could recollect from it again in the future. Val-mave berivis, because of these homeowners that they lend money with interest to Jewish people. Now, as the Pasuk of Mishlei Chavches says, marba hoinoi b'neshach v'tarbis, if someone increases his wealth through lending with interest, the Pasuk there says, l'chinin dalem mikabtzeno, you know who he's gathering that extra money that he's making for? That's for the one who has mercy on the poor people, which the Gemara Bamitzi explains. That's like King Shapur, who he has mercy on the non-Jewish poor people. So the government's going to be taking all your money and it's going to be giving it to all the poor non-Jewish people, and that's for punishment for lending with money with interest to Jewish people. And we continue on to Amud Beis. Va'al shoha yisipik biyadim, and also it's regarding these balabatim, these homeowners, that it was within their opportunity to be limchais, to protest regarding those who are the sinners in their generation, who their words, these wealthy people, would have been heard because of their wealth and everyone's afraid of them, but v'loy michu, and they didn't protest, they let people continue sinning. Va'al shapaiskim, and also regarding these balabatim, these homeowners, these wealthy people, that they pledge tzedakah b'rabim, they pledge money that they're going to give to tzedakah in front of other people that they're going to give to the poor people. However, they don't give it. And those are the four reasons why their money of the balabatim, of the wealthy people, is given over to the government. Amar Rav, Rav says, b'shvil abad dvarim nichsei balabatim yitzim letimyon. He says, because of these following four things, the monies, the resources of the homeowners, their money just disappears. It gets buried and it's not found anymore. One is because that they hold back from paying somebody that they hired to work for them, which is they say, oh, come back and I'll give you later, and they keep on pushing him off. And another one is for someone that just totally steals the money and he holds back the money, he never pays his worker. Third one is that they remove the yoke from their shoulders and they put it on their friend's shoulders. And the fourth one is for a haughty spirit, which their baligaiva and they lord over their brethren because of their great wealth. And the Gemara says, Vagasa Ruch Kneged Kulan. And the one that's equal, equivalent to all of them in its badness about that has caused their money to be lost, is the haughty spirit. However, regarding the humble ones, it says a pasuk in Tehillim, Vanovim Yishu Aretz, and the humble ones will inherit the land, Vis Angal Rev Shalman, they'll have much pleasure with abundant peace. Again, the opposite of the Baal Gaiva. Hanulach Hayashin, we shall return to you the second parak, Mesach the Sukkah, parak Hayashin Tachas Hamita. Now we begin the third parak, parak Lulav HaGazel, which for the next two parakim continues on the halachas of the Dalad Minim. The first two parakim spoke about primarily the mitzvah of Sukkah, now we speak about primarily the mitzvahs of the Dalad Minim. So the mission begins. Lulav. Now, lulav is a reference to the branch of the palm tree, which first it says these specific halachas in regards to the lulav, then it will say regarding the hadis and the arava, each one will get its own area, its own mishnayos to talk about it. So regarding a lulav hagazel, that was stolen, that's invalid, because the pasuk says regarding the dalal minim, v'lekachtem lechem, you should take for you, which the Gemara darshan is to say, mishelechem, it should be from yours. So if one stole a lulav, one will not be able to fulfill his chiyuv. V'hayavish, and if the lulav is dried out, which since we need to have a mitzvah that's mahudr, that's beautiful, as the pasuk says in Shemais Tezvav, v'yan vehu, which the Gemara Darshan is to say that it should be beautiful. So therefore, if it's either stolen or dry, pasul, it's going to be pasul. Again, stolen is because it's not going to be lechem, and when it's dried, it's because it's not going to be mahudr, it's not going to be beautiful. Shalasher, if the lulav is from a tree that was served as avodah zara, and the Gemara will learn why that would make it pasul. Or vishal ir hanidachas, or it's a lulav from a city which the majority of the inhabitants did avodah zara because of someone of its inhabitants that incited them to do avodah zara, where there the halacha is that the entire city gets burnt, as the pasuk in Devarim Yud Gimel says, ves kol shalola tikbets, all the things that are the booty from the city should be gathered and besarafta and should be burnt. Now, since a lulav needs, as we're going to explain, a shear of four tfachim, as the Gemara later on, Lamed Beis Amud Beis will explain. Now, since this lulav is ultimately going to be is intended to be burnt, so therefore it's as if there's no measurement here because it's as if it's already burnt. Now, if it's burnt, that means it's pulverized. There's nothing there. It's not obviously dal tvachim. If it's not dal tvachim, that is why the ir nedachas's lulav is going to be pasul. So therefore, again, the asheri is going to be pasul, and the Gemara will explain the reason for that. And ir nedachas, the reason why it's pasul is because it doesn't. Although it looks like it has a shear, halachically we don't view it as having a shear of a lulav. Niktam roishay, if the top of the lulav was cut off, that's pasul, because that's not considered hadar, as we said, that the lulav has to be beautiful. If the top is cut off, that's not beautiful. Nifritzu olav, if its leaves were torn off, meaning from there's two main components of the lulav, there's the shedra, which is the spine, the hard, thick part, and then it has leaves that branch out in it. So if the leaves are torn off from this spine, and they're not attached only by wrapping it together with something, how their brooms in the times of the Gemara used to be. So again, that's not hadar, it's not beautiful, and therefore pasul is going to be pasul. However, nifridu olav, if the leaves are just separated, which means that they are attached where they attach to the shedra, to the spine, it's just that on the top, they separate on either ways like the branches of a tree, then kosher, it's going to be kosher because it's still attached, it's just that it's hanging out. Whereas Rabbi Huda, I mean, he says that if it is nifridu olav, if the leaves are separated, although they're attached, yagdenim lamala, it should be tied up on the top. In other words, it should go straight up with the spine like all other lulavim. Tsine, which means the palm trees of Har HaBarzel, of the Iron Mountain, which is a certain area, kasheris, the lulavim of those palm trees are kosher. Now, even though the leaves of those lulavim are very small and they don't go up with the entire length of the shedra, still the Mishnah tells us they're going to be kosher. Now, the Mishnah ends, as we already alluded to this halacha, that lulav sheyesh b'shleisha tfachim, a lulav that has a measurement in its length of three tfachim, kedele naneabai, so that you could shake with it, which the Gemara later on will explain. Actually, these are two different criteria. It has to be first three tfachim in its shedra, in the spine, which would go opposite the length of the hadas, which is wrapped together with the lulav. Then it has to have an added tefach to those three tefachim, which would make it a total of four tefachim, so that it could be that you could shake it, which means that the leaves on the top could be shaking, because the lulav has to be shaken, as the Gemara later on, Lamed Zayin Mabez, explains, that you wear mailu marid, we go up and we go down, where moilicha maybe we go frontward and backwards, so that it should go after the elements of the bad winds, and that's why we go in either direction laterally and to the sides, and that we go up and down for the rains, for the waters that are up on the bottom, for those bad ones to protect in all directions. So if one has three tefachim and kedele naneyaboy, which means a total of four tefachim, then such a lulav is going to be kasher. Now the Gemara discusses the halacha that our Mishnah starts off with the lulav hagazel, with the stolen and the dried lulav, that's going to be pasul. So the Gemara says, kapasik v'tani. Our Mishnah just says a matter of fact, that lulav hagazel v'yavish is going to be pasul, and it doesn't differentiate. It just says in all situations such a lulav is going to be pasul. Now it sounds like loishna b'yamtiv rishon doesn't make a difference when you're using the lulav. If it's on the first day of yamtiv, where the obligation is midei raisa and the chutz laaretz, it's also for the second day of yamtiv. But loishna b'yamtiv sheni, and there's no difference for the second half of yamtiv, which means from the first day and on, or chutz laaretz from the second day and on, where there the mitzvah of netilas lulav actually is only rabbinic, because it says Bayim Harishon, that, and the pasuk says you only have to take the lulav the first day of Sukkot. Now, so it doesn't sound like there's a difference if it's the biblical taking of the lulav, which is on the first day, or again, as in Chutzlar, it's the second day, or when we say Yom Sheni, which means to say the rest of the days of Sukkot, where it's only rabbinic, doesn't make a difference if it's a stolen or dried out lulav, it's going to be pasul. So on that, the Gemara asks, Bishlami Yavish, we could understand when it's dried out that it would be possible even under rabbinic mitzvah, which is from the second day on to the rest of the days of Sukkot. Because since it's still a mitzvah, because it was rabbinic mitzvah, which is zecher l'mikdash, to remember what was done in the Beis HaMikdash, where there it actually was taken all 7 days. So hadabi in the Valaka, you need it to be beautiful, because any mitzvah, even rabbinic, has to be beautiful, and you don't have it when it's dried out. So we could understand that the lulav hayavish will be possible on all days of Sukkot. Elo Gazel, but the Gemara asks regarding when it's stolen. So Bishlam Yamtiv Rishon, we understand the first day of Yamtiv. Techsiv Lochem, where it says that you should take for you with the drushes, Mishalachem has to be from yours. So we understand that a stolen lulav is going to be pasul. Elo Yamtiv Sheni, but on the second day of Yamtiv and onward, Amai Loi, why can you use a stolen lulav? You don't have Lochem, it's only rabbinic mitzvah. The rabbinic mitzvah doesn't come with the qualifications of Lochem, Mishalachem. It's just that you should take a lulav and esrig that looks like a lulav and esrig, it's like a regular lulav and esrig, to commemorate what was done in the Beis HaMikdash that was taken for 7 days. So why, if it's stolen, is it possible? On that, Amar Yechonim, Mishum Ben Yechai, we continue at top of Lamed Ben Aleph, Mishum De Havalei, because there's a different problem. You're right, it's not because of Lochem that it says should be yours and not stolen. Rather, because it's a mitzvah, although it's a rabbinic mitzvah, but it's still the mitzvah of taking a lulav, haba be'aveira, which is coming through a transgression of an avera, which is the avera of theft. Shnema, like it says a pasuk in Malachi, which we find in that pasuk that it's forbidden to do a mitzvah that's coming through the process of an avera. As the pasuk there says, we're in the middle of the pasuk, it says, Amar Hashem Tzavakas, this is what Hashem, the Lord of hosts, says. The havesim gazel, you're bringing for me karbanis that are stolen, vesabiseach, that which is lame, vesachil, that which is ill. Now, therefore, we make a comparison between the different things that Hashem, so to speak, was complaining about, the karbanis that Jewish people are bringing, that gazel dumi de piseach, a stolen animal compared to a lame animal. And that is ma piseach less like tekanda, just like a lame animal, there's no rectification for that invalidity of it, which is because a lame animal, there's nothing at a later point in time which will allow you to bring that lame animal, because that's what's called a mum kavua. It's a permanent blemish, which there's no way to ever bring that such a lame animal as a carbon. Af gazel. So we learn that also regarding a stolen animal, we learn the same thing, that les le takanta, even at a later point in time, there will be nothing you could do to it, once you stole it, to bring it as a carbon at a later point in time. Which means, loishnu lefnei yish, which what it's coming to teach us is, doesn't make a difference that you can't bring this before the owner gave up on this, which was stolen, which means to say that he's still holding on to the rights of this thing. Veloishnu l'achi yish, and there's no difference regarding after he gives up hope, and that is even if he was what's called miyayish, which means that we heard the owner say, ah, what can I do? It was a loss of money, it was stolen, you know what? It is what it is, and he's giving up hope. Now, although regarding acquiring objects, the Gemara Baba Kama Samachesim and Alpha explains that you can acquire something from someone else when he's miyayish, he gives up hope, and then it becomes the thief's object. Still, regarding sacrificing it to the Mizbeach, for that we didn't allow it. And that's what we're comparing it to Pesach, because just like Pesach, there's no way to rectify it. Hereby stolen, even though generally with stolen goods, there is a way for it to ultimately become yours, and then maybe you'd be able to bring it as a carbon. And that was saying that no, there's no difference, not before Yish and not even after Yish. It doesn't make a difference that he gave up and it, so to speak, becomes yours. You still can bring it. Now, that the question is, but Bishlam Lefnei Yish, we could very well understand before Yish that you cannot bring it as a carbon, which we're comparing it to Pesach, forever, because the Pasuk in Vayikra that says, Adam ki yakev mikem amrachman, the Torah tells you that when a person brings a carbon from your things, which means to say it has to be from yours, v'lav didehu, and if the guy didn't give up hope yet, although you stole it from him, he still owns it, it's not your object yet, so of course he can't bring it, because it has to be mikem, and that's not mikem. But the question is, ela achar yish, but after the owner already gave up hope, hakani b'yish, why? The thief already acquired it with the halachas of yish, that he gave up hope. Now why shouldn't you be able to bring it as a carbon? Allah, rather, this obviously is the lesson we're learning from this pasuk of Malachi, that mishum dehavalei mitzvah habab avera. Obviously, it's because it was a positive commandment that you bring a carbon that came through the utility of an avera, of transgressing the prohibition of theft. And now, even though it's yours, it doesn't make a difference. You can't bring the mitzvah since it came through an avera. And that's the same idea why, although the mitzvah is only rabbinic in the second days of Sukkot, and therefore we were asking, there's no lachem that applies, why shouldn't you be able to bring a stolen lulav? It's because the only way you got this lulav to do the mitzvah, albeit a rabbinic mitzvah, was through the avera of stealing it. That's a mitzvah habab avera, and that Hashem doesn't allow, He doesn't want a mitzvah habab avera.